The group that sounds like Queen.
What was doing with Rick Ross yesterday? Wasn't he having some rap battle that was going on? I saw people tweeting about Rick Ross. Mm. I saw some video of somebody giving him champagne. I was like, ah, that's a good life.
Tua Tagovailoa.
But by the way, where the hell's my video of Tua throwing passes? Every time I tune into ESPN or NFL Network, some quarterback's throwing passes in shorts and a t-shirt. Can I get a little Tua action? Guy's out there running with a sled. Which, by the way, seems like just a giant waste of time. Why does he need to do that? What's next? Put a parachute on him?
Oh, gosh.
What does he need that type of resistance for? Let's have him cut loose. Throw some passes. That's all I'm saying. Let's get going already. I want to see some stuff. Give me some Tua news, Leroy. Give me some buzz, baby.
Tua news.
Yeah. Come on, man. I'm jonesing for it. Let's go. Everybody's got their quarterbacks out there throwing passes, doing some routes. Can we get him throwing a little route tree? Huh? Can he put his green thumb on and make a little route tree happen?
Relax. Why are you like, there's not like, let it go.
I'm not letting it. I just, I'm wondering, I'm jealous. I saw Tom Brady yesterday in his Bucks jersey throwing passes. I'm like, that's not fair. Why does he get to go throw passes?
That is weird. That is kind of weird, right?
I know. I haven't seen the Dolphins do anything football-y. They've done like going out on the field, and it's all like sprints and running with weight sleds, and that's it. I don't know if that's just their program in particular, or what they're holding back, or whatnot, or maybe they're just not releasing the footage. I don't know.
Yeah, you'll be all right. You'll live. Some kind of way, I think you'll survive. Two are not thrown for a day.
Send me a little footage, a little snippet. Hey, can I get a snippet?
What is it going to matter?
Just be great. You're good for morale.
All right.
You know, goes over Dolphins Reddit, Twitter. It'd be a great time. Let's get to headlines, Robbie. What do we got?
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Which is brought to you by... Yeah, you got some hurricane force winds over
there. Yeah, like that. You got that fan blown right into your microphone, Leroy.
I don't know.
You got Isaiah's.
No, that's my computer.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's in a wind tunnel.
Alright. Let me see if I can...
Go ahead, Robbie.
We got a big one. 4 hours from now, high noon elimination game for the Florida Panthers taking on the New York Islanders.
Oh, boy. I'm nervous.
I feel like we shouldn't be nervous. I feel like, you know, like the Panthers right now, they're playing with house money. The Islanders are the ones who should be nervous.
Are they playing with house money? Like, you know, you get down 2-0 in a series. Are you allowed to call it house money? I mean, it's just the qualifying rounds. I think if they made the next round, that's one thing.
Well, yeah, like you would think, like the Panthers weren't supposed to be in the playoffs. Like if the playoffs were normal, they wouldn't be in. Because of this pandemic, they got an extended playoffs, and they got thrown like an olive branch here to qualify for the playoffs. And then they got down 0-2, and then they won a game. I feel like they're house money.
Yeah, but they were mostly in the playoff picture all year. So the fact that they needed an expanded playoffs to make the playoffs, you know, it kind of. I guess what you're saying is you got to be at the poker table, but I don't want to just be at the poker table. Like, I'd like to win some bets. Then I feel like I got some house money.
Well, you can't go to the poker table with just a couple of chips and think you're going to compete with
chip and
the
chair.
Stack leader, the chip leader.
Or
and
in
Tobit's
case.
That's what you're trying to do.
In Tobit's case, he goes all in all the time, hoping to lose, and it doesn't work.
Right.
That is my strategy. And now I'm getting invited to virtual ones. I'm like, virtual? I don't even get to do the thing with the chips where I look like Rounders? That's not cool.
You don't look like Rounders.
Oh, I look like Rounders.
Really? Look, last time we played in poker tournament, I looked across at you, and here's what the thought was running through my mind. Does he even know how to play poker?
Not really.
Right. That's what I thought.
I just follow the dealer's instructions.
Post your blinds. Your turn to act.
Post my blinds, and then I hit him over the head with go all in. And I got like a, you know.
I got the
like
all in chip.
I got like a 4-7.
One of these days you're going to bluff out Johnny Chan like Mikey McDermott did in Rounders.
Hey, no lie. I absolutely pissed everybody at the table off one time because, you know, it's not like you're playing for real money, right? You are, but you're not. And so I said, the next hand, I'm going to win with 2-3, and I'm going to show everybody. The next time I get 2-3. So I got 2-3 suited, right? I said, hey, look at this. I laid him up. I bet there was another guy in. He raised me. Call. Bet again. He raised me. Call. Guess what it ended up being? 4-2s.
Oof.
Everybody was so mad. So mad.
What do you got, Robbie? What do we got here?
By the way, we're a month away from the online World Series of Poker. I can't wait for that.
Are they doing it online?
They have to. I said, what's the one sport you can get away with? You know, I think I can't believe I said sport. That's the one event you can get away with, just playing totally online, even though I don't trust online poker. I mean, I don't trust the electronic.
It feels like the
Russian. Sometimes you need to see who you're dealing with.
Well, a lot of these people, these whiz kids, they'll play like 18 tables at a time online. And that's all they do. Half of these guys don't even play real against real people. They're playing against bots.
Bots. I don't know. They're getting paid.
You telling me the Russians can't hack this?
Of course they can.
I don't trust it, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, watch Putin win the World Series of Poker.
Putin's walking around with Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring and then a World Series of Poker bracelet. He didn't even win it. He just had some. He had some sharp tech kid win it for him. They have to send it to Russia.
Here you are, Mr. Putin.
Really?
Todd the intern.
Bob the intern.
Yeah, Todd the intern. They said, "Here you go, Mr. Putin."
You think he has interns?
Oh yeah, but they
no
when they finish.
Way.
But when their internship's over, they're just dead.
Jeez. And I'm sure people are just signing up for that job.
I don't think they have a choice. You have been chosen as Putin's intern. Welcome, Todd.
Todd. So he's in all of Russia, right? And you gave him not Nikolai, Todd. Just Todd. How many Russian Todds do you know? Right? Jeez. Todd.
I can't wait till they get to the last two players and they just put, like, normally when they get to the last two players, they put all the cash on the table. Like, they just bring all the cash into Putin's room right when they get to the last two tables.
Man.
Guess what's back on Sunday?
What?
Shark Week. Tyson against the Shark.
Oh, Mike Tyson versus Shark.
Boo.
No, not a fan of Shark Week?
I mean, I'm a sucker. I'm going to watch it.
Hold on.
What?
Okay. I've had a month to think about this, and I still get stuck in the same spot. They going to tape a glove to a shark's nose.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's going to happen.
I'm out.
Why?
Because it's stupid.
Well, I don't think it's taped. I think they're putting a contraption on the nose. It's like, you know, it's I don't know what the right, mounted is, I guess, the right word.
So you're going to mount a glove on a shark.
Right. You're going to give it it's going to go up against Tyson. You're going to put it into a lane, and you're going to see if the velocity can match Tyson's body shots on the shark.
Oh, CGI?
No, it's real.
And the shark went for this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a shark. You can't talk. I think they're going to give him some chum, though, so I think he'll be cool.
Like a pregame snack?
Yeah.
Really?
I can't wait. You excited? You going to watch with me?
No.
I'm watching.
No.
No, Instagram
no
Live?
No damn sense whatsoever.
Actually, can't Instagram Live. You kind of need the sound of the TV.
Yeah, you definitely do.
Post-game show.
Are you sure it's not going to be CGI?
No, it's 100% real.
And as an educated person, you think this sounds normal?
Well, it's Tyson. I mean, what's normal when it comes to the world of Tyson? The guy's coming back for a boxing event against Roy Jones. Decides, tune up fight, sparring match with a shark.
And nobody gets bit?
I don't know.
This has the makings of the Shaq with the shark. Or the Michael shark Phelps. Racing. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it was the biggest. Here's what they do. They're selling this. And every time they've sold something this much, it was the biggest letdown ever.
Well, listen, boxing glove on a shark's nose. How could you say no?
How?
Yeah.
I'm out.
I want to eat his pups. I'm going to eat his shark fin.
Don't do that again.
Spinal.
I got to tell you, white guys get in a lot of trouble. Trying to talk black.
That's talking black? Sounds like a cartoon character.
Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson just happens to be black. I don't think he has your stereotypical voice, if you know what I mean.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have the standard voice of a human, but he got everybody in the world talking like Kermit the Frog.
Ah, shark! Next year's Shark Week, Patrick Mahomes tries to outthrow a shark as far as it could swim.
Just see the shark just jumping up in the air, catching a Mahomes pass.
Next year they're gonna put wide receiver gloves on the shark's fins.
Rip. See, You already think it's crazy because you already talk about the next stupid thing next year.
What? I'm just doing marketing for Discovery.
Tyson is not boxing a shark.
He is. They've already put the contraption up, man. You got to go to Discovery's Twitter account. It's kind of like, I don't want to call it a muzzle, but
don't get in the habit of muzzling sharks.
Yeah, but it's got like,
how big is the shark?
Like a mad dog.
I think it's a bull shark. I don't think they went great white. I think they're going bull.
Which aren't those the very aggressive ones?
Yeah, very aggressive.
Yeah, they're the guy that that's the one that took out Paul DeGelder's arm and leg.
Yep.
It's a bull shark.
Oh my goodness. Like, yeah.
And he's still rocking it with the shark, still hanging out with him.
Yep.
All right.
And he's still got a bow shark.
Let me tell you. A little bitty fish can nibble at my leg. I'm going to yell shark and get the hell up out of there. The only thing I ever ran into is barracuda. And as long as you don't have earrings, you're good.
Text writes in, so what happens when Tyson's bit by the shark fin? I don't know.
And he can't fight Roy Jones.
Somebody says, wait.
Hey, somebody said, don't believe it. Don't believe it, Leroy. The silly sauce sommelier. Yeah, that's right. Oh, they're both hitting targets to compare forces. They're not boxing each other. See? That's not the way they sold it. Is that the way they sold it?
I don't know, man. I've been making it up the whole time.
You what? You're a jackass.
That's kind of boxing glove in his nose.
Hey, I'm looking at the text. And guess what? I'm looking at the text. And I'm not alone. Tobin doesn't look rounders. He just looks round. I like that one.
Don't deflect.
What do you think Ron McGill would think of this?
Float like a manatee,
so
sting like a shark. Oh my god.
Can't wait for Sunday.
I just love how you just kept asking questions about it. What type of shark is it? Bull shark.
Somebody said, I knew it. Told you, Leroy. No, you didn't know it. You were sending questions for me to ask.
Oh, it's like, Bola.
I knew it. Don't believe it. Tyson and a shark, huh? And
just wait for Mahomes.
Robbie. Well, like, I love the way Robbie all of a sudden is quiet.
Well, it's pretty easy to do. Just have a decoy out there and have the shark jump right in the air, and then Mahomes just throws him a pass.
No
breach.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about the fact that you thought he was kidding.
No, I bought in hook, line, and sinker. No pun intended.
Oh, of course. Okay, at least you're like, yeah. Right. Here we go. I can see the shark coming out to Apollo Creed theme, Living in America.
Living in the ocean.
Give him the hat.
Somebody said, wait, here's where we go. See, here's what I want people to understand. Tobin is a child. Same guy texts, Leroy is slow. So I'm telling you, like, what? Okay, why wouldn't I think something's crazy? They already tried to pass off
Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps racing the shark. I got sucked into that.
I've never been more mad. I've never been more mad.
That's why I'm asking a bunch of questions, because, like, for the last month, you guys have been talking about Tyson boxing a shark or trying to see who could punch the hardest.
Shark's got a great jab. Gotta keep him at a distance.
I wonder how Letterman would score the fight.
Okay, Jim, I gotta tell you, the shark really keeping the distance here in the ocean. I got it 4-3, shark over Tyson.
What gave that away? Tyson's missing an arm.
Tyson about to join Harold Letterman in that big boxing arena in the sky.
Oh gosh,
Robbie, ready for the Magnificent Seven?
Oh, yes.
I'm not. Like, I hate you guys.
What?
I don't understand how Robbie fell for it too.
I did.
And he's laughing like he was in on it. He just went right by and tried to hide behind some
foliage. It was hilarious.
And hope people don't catch him. Right? slow. He doesn't get it. He doesn't know. Like, I thought I was a smart dude, but the old sommelier, as you would call him, he comes on, like, why wouldn't I think there was some truth to that when I just saw CGI shark race Phelps?
Well, maybe you thought that there's no way Discovery Channel is going to pull that bull bleep twice.
Well, originally when we started talking about it, Robbie said, uh-oh, they got sued. They can't do that.
Yeah, they can't do that. But right. They got sued for the mermaid thing.
Oh, saying mermaids were real?
Yeah.
Don't say that to my daughter.
All right, Robbie, give us our best seven plays of the weekend. Magnificent Seven is next. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the best seven plays of the weekend from our own Robbie the Degenerate. We call this the Magnificent Seven. Every Friday at this time, this is how you get set for the weekend. It's like a launching pad, Leroy. Robbie, are you ready to tell the people how to win some money this weekend?
Oh, yes, let's do it. First off, we got some precarious action going on in the KBO. We're in the top of the eighth inning between the Latte Giants and the Doosan Bears. They're up 4-2, which is a total of 6 runs. But right now, in the top of the eighth, the bases are loaded with 2 outs, and you've got a live total sitting at 7.5. Now, if you're doing quick math, you're at 6 runs so far. You need 2 more runs to get the over. You got the bases loaded here. And even if they don't get any additional runs, you still got at least 3 half innings left of baseball to play to get the 2 runs. So we're going to go to the over right now on this live KBO action. Bases loaded, 2 outs in the top.
Aren't all the games mostly over, Robbie?
Well, the bullpen in the KBO has been very shaky. And yeah,
better get some of them Marlins relievers, KBO.
Yeah, the new one, not the Rona guys. The new
you,
guys.
You know about you know about my dude Box Burger? Shutting Ooh. That ass down. Come on, son.
Some Richard Blyer.
Woo.
Some Hoyt.
Some Mike Marin. Not so much, you know. I tell you what, a Hawaiian punch out yesterday.
Yamamoto!
Oh, no.
That usually doesn't happen to people that come on the show.
I know.
Well, Caleb Smith
came
on the show.
That's basically the equivalent of Ben Askren right there.
That was, yeah, exactly. Actually,
so far this year, Caleb Smith, he came on the show, got the Rona. Eason Diaz came on, opted out.
That's true, opted out. We got a Marlins jinx rolling.
Uh-oh.
Not Brian Anderson, though.
Oh, wild pitch, come on. Oh, didn't get the run.
Brian Anderson. We got Brian the
Kendrick. We're getting Kendrick Nunn here?
Maybe.
Late in the year?
Maybe we got some Marlins stink on us. Although, no. Brian Anderson's been awesome. He's on with us, too. And he's like, you know, he's like Marlins VIP. So, I don't know.
Yep.
What else we got?
All right,
we got
a little PGA Championship going
Woo.
On. Which, by the way, is brought to you by the Evan Watts Golf Shop.
I'm going to tell you if this is a good bet, Robbie.
Well, this is brought to you by the Evan Watts Golf Shop. Home of the 90-day, 100% satisfaction guarantee. Serving golfers around the country since 1968. We got a little prop bet matchup here. Tiger Woods against Daniel Berger. Even money pick on both sides. Berger is sitting at 3-under. Berger, by
three
the way.
3-under.
He went to Dwyer High School. He's a local kid from down
yep.
here. Yep. He finished second in the St. Jude tournament, Mr. Berger did. He didn't make the cut at the Memorial. Now, Tiger. Well,
was his first week back. He had spent some time off because he was hurt. He had a wrist surgery or he had a wrist injury. The Memorial was like his first tournament back or second tournament back. So he's only played maybe four or five tournaments in about a year. So he's in a different place.
Tiger's sitting at 2-under. Tiger, he did not play in the St. Jude, but he did play in the Memorial. That's his tournament. That was also his first tournament back since the quarantine. But I feel like Tiger senses he's close. He's only, three shots back? I feel like he's on the prowl. Tiger, usually when Tiger implodes, it's usually was when he's like seven shots back. That's when Tiger will throw a plus four on the board. But I feel like he's close. He has a shot, and maybe Tiger's starting to get his groove back a little bit. He got his rough patch out of the way in the Memorial, and I got to admit, I am a partial sucker for betting Tiger Woods. I mean, the public loves betting Tiger Woods, and I hate siding with the public, but I also love betting Tiger Woods. So if I'm getting a good price, if I'm getting even money against Daniel Berger, give me Tiger Woods. Just today, by the way, in the second round. It's not for the rest of the tournament. It's just for today's action. Which the T-Lay.
I can't argue. Can't argue.
Leroy, too, you kind of love betting. You kind of love the Tiger Woods, too.
Yeah, I like.
Who doesn't
the problem.
Like
this?
If you like golf, then you tune in. Who's the guy who's rooting against Tiger Woods to not do well?
I have to admit, back in his heyday when Tiger was winning all the time, I would have
been a Tiger hater?
Not a Tiger hater, but I would root for the underdog. I would like to see somebody else win every now and then. But now that Tiger's back, I kind of this rehab tour that Tiger's going on, winning the Masters is awesome. Now I'm all in on Tiger.
You know what's crazy? Back in the day when Tiger was winning everything, everybody rooted for Phil.
Ugh.
I'm serious.
Yeah, Phil hadn't won one yet.
Right, Phil hadn't won one.
All right, we got a little happy hour NBA basketball today.
Okay.
4 o'clock, you got the Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, the Thunder
hard times for the Grizzlies.
It is hard times. The Thunder are 5-point favorites against the Grizzlies. But, yeah, the Grizzlies, they're free-falling. I don't think they've gotten a win in the bubble yet. And now they have the pressure of Portland breathing down their neck. It's a foregone conclusion that they're going to be in a bare minimum, the play-in game to get to the playoffs. Now they might not even make that. Or they may have to win two games against Portland instead of one.
Triple J is out.
Yeah, Jared Jackson Jr., he is out for the year. And Oklahoma City on the flip side. They've had a pretty impressive bubble run. Their only loss is an overtime loss to the Nuggets, but they blew out the Jazz, and they blew out the Lakers with LeBron. Now, LeBron, maybe he had a groin issue. Maybe he's playing up the groin issue. I don't know. But Chris Paul has been playing great. I feel like 5 is really light here. I feel like the Grizzlies are free-falling. The Thunder are playing great. I feel like a double-digit win is easy here for the Thunder. Give me the Thunder. Lay the 5 points.
Okay. All right, Robbie, number 4.
All right, we got a little NBA basketball tomorrow night. This line's not out here because NBA doesn't wait. Usually puts the games out the day of the game. The Miami Heat taking on the Phoenix Suns tomorrow night. Now, we have to assume, gentlemen, that Goran Dragic and Jimmy Butler are not going to play.
And Goran, he owns the Suns.
He loves playing against the Suns.
Goran Dragic revenge game every time he plays Phoenix.
He might want to play. He might try to beg Spoelstra to let him play, but I don't think, please, Spo,
let me out there, please. I can't do it, Goran. Can't do it.
But yeah, the Suns, they're red hot. They're undefeated in the bubble. They beat the Pacers last night or yesterday.
Juggernaut.
And look, the Heat lost to the Suns last year when the Suns were on a 17-game losing streak when they were at their worst. And now they're at their best. But I'm going to compare this to a few years ago when Miami played Appalachian State. Now, if you remember that game a few years back, Miami had to travel to Appalachian State. They were only a 3-point favorite. Because Appalachian State had almost beaten Tennessee a couple weeks earlier. Tennessee was like number 10 in the country. They were overhyped, but they almost won. And everyone was making a big deal about Appalachian State and Miami having to travel to Appalachian State. Miami almost felt a sign of disrespect that they were only 3-point favorites. And they actually took that game very seriously. And they did not take Appalachian State lightly whatsoever. They treated it like a big game. Well, I feel like the Suns being 4-0, they're going to treat the Suns like the juggernaut that they are. I don't think they're going to treat them like the 17 lost Suns that they played last year when they were losing 17 in a row. I think they're going to take this game very seriously. And I think the Heat are going to come out guns blazing for a half. At the very minimum. I feel like we don't know the line yet, but I feel like the Heat are either going to be a very small favorite or the Suns might be a favorite here. It's going to be a very close spread whatsoever. Just to put it into context, the Suns were only 2-point underdogs to the Pacers yesterday. So if Goran and Jimmy are out, you're probably looking around the same thing. Maybe the Heat -1 at best for this game. And, you know, only bet the first half. Don't bet the whole game. You don't want to get the stress of the second half, especially if the Heat have a big lead at halftime. You know they're going to give it back. So give me the Heat, whatever the spread is. I think it'll be a very small spread. You might even be getting points just for the first half.
Uneasy feeling when the Heat have a big lead at halftime. You just know what's
going on. Oh, the worst.
The worst. The worst. Number five, Robbie.
All right. We got a little UFC Tobin this weekend.
Woo-hoo!
Co-main event here. Omari Akhmedov, the Russian, taking on Chris Weidman. Now,
what? Chris Weidman.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing, Toby, because Weidman's a favorite here at minus 140. But I'm like, why is he a favorite? I feel like he's only a favorite based on reputation. Like the Joe Public UFC better that doesn't follow UFC. He's like, oh, Weidman, I know that guy. He beat Silva twice.
Yep.
Broke his leg.
He's a little bit like Buster Douglas. Like he beat the unstoppable force that was Anderson Silva. But I mean, it's been hard times for Chris Weidman.
To be exact, he's lost 5 of his last 6 fights. Weidman has. In fact, he's 36 years old. Akhmedov, the Russian.
He got Ben Askren one time. He was winning against Now, he didn't get it as fast, but he was winning this fight against Yoel Romero, and Yoel Romero just flying kneed him to death.
Oh, no.
Toppled him over.
Not the flying knee.
The flying knee is rough.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, Snitchy.
I mean, Ben Askren's went and headbutted. just headbutt. Like, you couldn't have knocked yourself out quicker, right?
Not possible. So go ahead, Rob.
Oh, yeah, the Russian, Akhmedov, he's on a 3-fight win streak. And in fact, he hasn't lost a fight in his last 6 fights. He had a draw mixed in there. And he's Russian, so maybe he has connection to Bryson DeChambeau's trainer. And so and you're getting plus money as an underdog. Give me the Russian, Omari Akhmedov, at plus 110 over the Washman.
All right, number 6, Robbie.
All right, the main event of this UFC card, Alexei Oleinik taking on Derek Lewis, a friend of the show. Derek Lewis is a big favorite at -2-1, -200 here. Alexei Oleinik catching plus 165 as an underdog. Now, Oleinik is 43 years old, not Kelly Oleinik. Alexei Oleinik, he's 43 years old, but he has won his last 2 fights as a 43-year-old, and he's won his 4 of his last 6 overall. Now, Derek Lewis, the Black Beast, he prefers to stand up. Like, he prefers to, he's a counterpuncher. He prefers to be up in the ground just mauling people. He did get submitted by DC. Derek Lewis, so if you get him to the ground, which Alexei Oleinik is nicknamed, the boa constrictor, you get him to the ground, I feel like he has a chance to beat Derek Lewis. And who knows what kind of shape Derek Lewis is in. I mean, he had a massive quarantine, a long layoff. Who knows what kind of shape he is in. And look, just simple, a boa constrictor against the black beast, usually a boa constrictor would be able to take it down and constrict him. And so give me the Russian, a nice plus 165 underdog. I know Derek Lewis, friend of the show, sorry to do it, but.
What round they rise and find that, sir? Better get ready, girl. I'm going deep.
That's his post-fight interviews are almost better than his fights.
Well, especially that fight against Ngannou. There was no post-game interview for that one.
Oh, that was that was a terrible fight. But his one where when he beat Volkov like at the last second, that was crazy. Number 7, Robbie.
All right, noon today, the Islanders, Panthers.
Woo!
Islanders are slightly favored in this game, about minus 35. You can bet the Panthers at plus 115. Now, I gotta lie, I'm not gonna lie to you, this is a straight up guts bet. Look, we already have investor interest in the game. All the gambling experts of the world tell you to never bet with emotion. But I'm not worried about, you know, jinxing the Panthers, because you know what? I was the only rat on the ship for game three.
True.
I came out of here and said it, and the Panthers, you know what? They showed some guts. You know what? The Islanders, they might start
Robbie was a rat with his floaties on.
Hey, where are these rats going? I'm just here holding onto the boat. But yeah, no, I think the Islanders might feel some pressure here a little bit. They lost the first game. Maybe they had a day to think about that loss. Maybe some psyche kicks in there. And you know what? The Panthers, say what you want, but they are the designated home team. And you look at the results so far. The Islanders won the first two games when they were the designated home team. I know Sean Thornton brought that up, that the Panthers were going to be the home team in game three, and they won. So, I mean, say what you will, but that's been the results so far. And I'm going to give you a quote from Kevin Millar, your old friend, Tobin, one of your favorite Marlins. But he was on that Red Sox team that was down 3-0 before they came back and won the game. And he famously said before game four, don't let us win tonight. If you're going to do it tonight. Don't give us any hope and extend the series. Well, that's what happened with the Panthers. They got that win. They extended the series, got a little bit of hope. I'm not saying they win the series, but I think they get it to game five. Guts.
Man.
This comes crashing down. Right? When it crashes, it's crashing. It's going to be an epic crash, right?
Like a six-goaler?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We're back with more right after this. Welcome back, everybody. It's Tobin and Leroy on a Friday here with you. He took it on the chin in the second half yesterday. Oof. It was what a party that first half was, huh?
Yeah.
What a party that was.
Everybody making threes.
Everybody making threes.
And you notice when he start making threes, they start shooting them from the timeline.
Well, there was a it was like in that third quarter they were like in such a drought. It got better like the last few minutes of the third quarter. But there was a point where they like scored 12 points. In that, and it was like nine of them were threes by Kendrick Nunn, who can't buy a basket, and Derek Jones Jr., who Reggie Miller just had ready in his hip pocket. 26% from three.
Yeah.
I was like, geez, Reggie, I've never even heard you be a numbers guy.
I could do that. 26%?
You think in the NBA you could shoot?
Not in the game. I'm saying just going around the horn.
Just going around the horn?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Heat yesterday, they pooped the bed in the second half, turdiest of third quarters, and the fourth quarter was even worse. They got outscored 38-18. It ended up being a season high in points given up. It all just happened so fast. It was just like, whoa, because it was a competitive game. Definitely looked like it was slipping away, but then, you know, kind of showed some guts at the end of the third quarter. Wasn't terrible, and the fourth quarter was, I mean, it was a mauling. It was an absolute mauling. Now, You had a situation, no Jimmy, no Goron. Those are just the facts, Leroy. They're not excuses.
All right.
Bam Adebayo, he had one of his worst games. He was in foul trouble, 2-for-10 from the floor. He did hit a three. That was fun. Pants may have been sands by the when he hit that three at halftime, Leroy. I was very much enjoying that.
It was in rhythm.
Yep.
It wasn't a rush shot. And he looked good shooting it.
Looked better shooting that than he did the mid-range.
I think it's the mindset that he's in. If he ever went into a game with the mindset of, I got to shoot the ball more, I think he'd be more productive. But a lot of times when he has that elbow jumper, he's looking around and they back off of him, and he never really looks like he's in rhythm when he shoots that.
Right. And then yesterday, he only shot two free throws. And, you know, the game before, he had a career high in free throw attempts. So he didn't see that aggression. Obviously, you know, you go into a game like this and he has to stop Giannis. But they started with Jay Crowder on Giannis, who's doing okay. And, you know, I would imagine part of the strategy to that is you want to get, you know, take some of the burden off of Bam. You know, but Giannis wasn't even, you know, he didn't play that much. And was in foul trouble, in his own foul trouble, But in his minutes, he was just, I mean, he was a monster. I mean, he was, you know, 33-12 yesterday. He was 13-17 from the floor. Just couldn't be stopped. I mean, and his only misses were all three-point attempts, Leroy, so he never missed. He never missed inside three-point range yesterday.
Right. Oh, no. Here goes drunken T-shirt Leroy with, I can do that.
That T-shirt did get quite soaked. It definitely did. You know, so as Robbie was saying yesterday, though, you go into a situation. I think the things that are going to be interesting tomorrow, whether, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if Goran ends up playing. I don't think he will. I think they really should just rest him up and make sure that he's right for the playoffs.
Well, there's a fine line here. And I'll say this. You want to be into a flow. You want to get into a flow, right? You want to get into where when you're going into, you know, the playoffs, you want to get to a point where you know what your rotation is going to be, how everybody's going to be playing, who can do what, or what have you. When you have guys missing 3, 4, 5 games and then going into it, aren't you going to have questions?
Not with him. I don't have questions with Goran. I feel like he rolls out of bed. He does his Goran thing.
Okay.
You know, with particular people, sure. Not with him. Not with him. Right. I just feel he always is going to, he's going to show up and do, he knows what his role is. Now, the thing that's going to be interesting about it is with Kendrick Nunn being as bad as he is, are we going to get to the point where Goran ends up starting? Are we going to get to the point where he ends up losing that job to either Tyler or he ends up losing it to Goran? Because I imagine, you know, Spo's going to want, you know, Spo's going to keep one of them obviously off the bench to be a scorer. Andre Iguodala, who I, you know, called a Tide pod earlier in the week and watched his hell. He's actually looked really good his last couple of games. Looks like he's in basketball shape. Yeah, I mean, he looks like he's fine in his role. He's been tremendous. He really, really has been. But Kendrick Nunn has been struggling, man. It's becoming hard to ignore.
Right. Texter chimes in. And I want to say this first. When we watch games, sometimes we look at games and say, oh, you know what this guy should do? And it looks like it should work. But sometimes those parts of that game might not be in that player's repertoire yet.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those is they talked about it on air last night about Bam with his back to the basket and playing out of the low post.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really not his thing. And I don't know if he can develop that or whatever, but as of right now, that's not, you know, sometimes guys aren't just comfortable with it. You know, that's not...
He's not comfortable with his back to the basket or face up?
Back to the basket.
I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that.
Well, no. I'm just saying. I'm just asking. Should he do that more? Should he, you know, because when he goes to the top of the key, if they, you know, do a lot of switching and stuff like that and they find a mismatch, should Bam just go and take that guy down to the block?
I think there's still a switch for Bam that does have to go into – he has to be, you know
– aggressive.
Go into takeover mode, yeah. Like I don't,
he's still.
I think sometimes almost worried about all the little stuff that he has to do. You know, setting screens, getting everybody going.
Doesn't that happen a lot with the Heat, though? We've said that about a few players.
Maybe, but I think he's the most talented out of all of them that we've probably said it about.
Bosh.
No, I mean I don't because Bosh was pretty established in his career. Bosh, they had learned other stuff, but
right.
I don't put that in the same category as like a Justice Winslow. They've done that.
Oh, no, 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 no.
You know,
Come on, man.
What?
I mentioned Bosh and you dare have a sentence where you mentioned
I don't really get the Bosh comparison. I don't know where you're going with
that. Well, I'm just saying, like, it got to the point. Bosh was learning all these other things, and it took them a while to get Bosh to say, hey, man. You're a perennial all-star. You were the leading scorer on a team. Be you. Be more aggressive. And it took him a while because he was asked to do so many different things. And I'm just saying, not the skill set necessarily, but the player sometimes takes a back seat and his talents don't ever get out there like they should. Now, eventually Bosch, you know, became more aggressive. And I'm just wondering if Bam is at that point where he's like, I have to do this, I have to do this, they want me to do this. But the thought process of being aggressive and taking advantage of these smaller guys when they're on me doesn't even compute.
Yeah, I would say the thing that I would say is the big difference with that, though, is Bosch's offensive skill set was always pretty great. The only thing that really developed with him with the Heat was that his range ended up getting a little bit bigger to three-point range, but he was always very polished with scoring.
Right, but
if anything, Bosch's big knock his entire career was that he didn't do enough of the big man stuff.
Like right, he was, but what I'm saying is this, is that when Bam gets the ball at the get at the elbow, right? Like, to certain people, that shot just comes natural. For example, yep. UD catches it on the baseline. He knows that's his spot. Boom, he's going. There's no thought process. There's no looking around. There's no nothing. It's a fluid thing.
Yeah, like a go-to move.
Right. Bam, he gets the ball and there's not anybody around him. And he's still doing that, looking to pass the ball around or whatever.
Yeah.
When is he going to get in his mind? I need to go.
Yeah, like a thing to get himself going for sure, especially on nights when it's off. I agree with that. Let's get to this. So Giannis yesterday, he was asked after the game about if the Heat are the biggest challenge to the Bucks in the East, and this is what the Greek Freak had to say.
I feel like they're a really good team. I think the East is really stacked up right now. Toronto is a great team. Miami is a great team. Boston is a great team. Philly is a great team. Indiana is playing amazing. So all of them are challenges. It's not like we're going to play a team and we're going to be able to just sweep them. You know, everybody that we play is going to be a challenge. So I don't know. I don't know who's the biggest challenge for us, but I know that probably the biggest challenge for us is ourselves. You know, it's how we gonna play, how hard we gonna play, are we gonna play for one another, are we gonna defend hard, are we gonna be able to rebound the ball, are we gonna make that extra effort, are we gonna dive on the floor? It's all about us. It's all about us.
I think the thing that's disappointing with yesterday, because it's not under the circumstances losing to a team that's good, even if it involves a collapse. It's not that you lost, because it's understandable to lose that game, but if you would have been able to pull that off, I really do think there's something to the Heat would have gone into a series against Milwaukee with somewhat of a mental edge. Like, wow, we couldn't even beat them, and they didn't have Jimmy and Goran. But the fact that you were able to have this second quarter where they got right within themselves, I do think that there's something to Giannis and the Bucks feeling like, all right, even if they didn't have all their best stuff, we know that we could turn it on and get to another level against them, or we can better ourselves. So I do think that is a bit of a lost opportunity with that game yesterday.
Well, it looked like a team that was struggling in the first half and had the MVP on their team, right? Like, they turned it up to a different level.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's always going to win, because sometimes you're just struggling and the team has your number, and the Heat have definitely shown that they can beat Milwaukee. But from the standpoint of Giannis, he's right. Like, yeah, man, it's more important to concentrate on what we do than what any other team has to offer, because we have the MVP.
And he was a freight train yesterday.
It's unbelievable when they were showing, like, replays. Five guys in the area, and he finds a crack at, or a spin move. And it's not just a layup or a jump shot or a finger roll. It's a dunk every time.
We'll take a quick break, get you caught up with your headlines. Marlins are rolling. We'll be back with more after this.